It's a wonderfully rich story, which is why it's been treated so many times in music and in art. When you think of all the musical settings of Romeo and Juliet, you wonder, how could anybody come up with something new? Well, Prokofiev found some very interesting things to bring out. Everyone talks about the conflict in Romeo and Juliet between the Montagues and the Capulets, and the fact that there's this, on the one hand, this love story, and on the other, the high, even violent drama that surrounds it. But Prokofiev saw that there's also a battle going on here between youth and age, and his music reflects that. It shows that there's the serious, almost severe personalities of the older generation who are locked into their feelings about each other. And then there's the much freer and lighter and more kinetic music of the young people. And that's something that goes throughout the score, and it really creates a new dimension of meaning in appreciating the ballet and Prokofiev's score.
Well, let's hear an example of some of that plotting, the older generation, and how they're represented here. You know, that's sort of no-nonsense, and there is even an element of something a little forbidding there.
Yeah, it's severe, and you think of this older generation, they're going around in armor, and they have long, big swords, you know, they're just in the old style, and you get a sense for how Prokofiev could create a cinematic effect in music. Here is a composer who really wrote film music brilliantly, and in this first full-length ballet, he shows exactly how he was able to do it with these very quick-cutting characterizations and this airborne lightness and the kind of energy that he gets in the music. When you listen to the music that represents Juliet as a young girl, you hear Juliet and you can actually, in your mind's eye, see her running across the stage, a 14-year-old girl. Music that is so choreographic in its spirit, it must have been very easy for the choreographers to create the ballet to this music. Even though they said that much of this music was undanceable, it's anything but. This is one of the most beautiful scores of the 20th century, certainly one of the greatest compositions for the ballet stage, on a par with the great Tchaikovsky ballets, and I think he absolutely aced it with this work, which is so rich in melody and so rich in content. It combines the lightness of the love story, the tender emotions, with music of real violence, which is, after all, a lot of what Shakespeare's play is about. And you can't soft soap that. You can't brush it aside. This is a play that ends unhappily, but it contains some extraordinarily powerful music along the way to this tragic ending. One example being the famous encore, The Death of Tybalt.
Yeah, there's real menace in this music at the same time that there are all these other lighter elements that you mentioned earlier, but there's a real frightening quality at the same time.
So you get twisted around. You watch a ballet and the music pulls you in emotionally, and you feel the warmth and lightness of spirit of Juliet, and you feel the humor of Mercutio, and you feel this kind of musty, stuffy inflexibility of the older generation. And then comes the where people start dying. And the music really grabs you. It's a tribute to Prokofiev that he was able to balance all of this in a very effective musical structure using material first-rate inspiration.
The recording that Ted Libby is recommending is by the Cleveland Orchestra, conducted by Lauren Mazel. It's on the London label. And Ted, as you said, it's the music from the entire ballet, not just the two suites.
Which the Cleveland Orchestra plays absolutely magnificently in this recording.
And some of the great melodies that Ted was talking about are packed into Act 1, Scene 2, as Juliet and her nurse prepare for the ball. Once again, the Cleveland Orchestra is conducted by Lauren Mazel.